The Tan Talk Radio Network.
Desert, get on a horse with no name, and you will be out of the rain. That's America. Good old America. Horse with no name. Ed, you come up with some of the best songs. I like that song. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, thank you very much for being with us here on a Friday, June the 23rd. We have a lot going on. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Dan Greenberg of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're going to talk about that organization's efforts to restore constitutional restraints on the federal government and to refocus on the separation of powers. I think that's a great idea. And the CEI has issued a report on trying to do that, so stay tuned for that. And two IRS whistleblowers testified yesterday that the Justice Department, the FBI, and the IRS interfered with the Hunter Biden investigation into his taxes, trying to protect him at every stage. This is really getting scary, my friends. We're going to take a look. And Florida Governor Ron DeSantis was asked if he would support Donald Trump if Trump becomes the Republican presidential nominee. He said he's not sure, basically. So we're gonna take a look at that as well. So stay tuned for that. And in our ultimate top 10, our buddy Ron Adam Schiff got censured the other day, as you know. So on the heels of the censure, we're gonna give you the 10 most recent censures in Congress. Stay tuned for that towards the end of the show. Now, Freedom Works is sponsored by two great companies: Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin, in the Overcast Plaza. And I'm telling you what, best haircut in Tampa Bay, I'll tell you, because I've been to so many of them over the years. They're located in the Overcast Plaza, just off State Road 580 on Overcast Drive. Call for your appointment, would you? 727-733-3773. And Arbor Life Tree Service. If you've got any tree problems, you want to plant trees, you want to prune trees, you want to get rid of trees, whatever it is, if it has to do with trees, they are the best tree service company in Tampa Bay. They are very inexpensive. Call for your estimate, a free estimate, 727-330-1999, 727-330-1999. So the walls are closing in on Hunter Biden, and possibly on his father. Justice Department investigators, we're trying to limit questioning related question. Well, they were trying to limit questioning related to President Biden in part of the investigation into Hunter Biden, despite objections from officials in both the FBI and the IRS. According to a couple of whistleblowers that appeared before the House Ways and Means Committee, the committee released the testimony that came yesterday from these two whistleblowers who said officials at the Justice Department, the FBI, and the IRS interfered with the probe into the tax evasion case against Hunter. And They said that it was politics all the way through, totally influenced by politics. One of the whistleblowers who's gone public, I think it takes a lot of guts. These days, you know the way things are in Washington. Gary Shipley Jr., he was the supervisor of the investigation of the IRS into Hunter Biden. And he said, quote, in every stage, unquote, of the probe, decisions were made that, quote, had the effect of benefiting the subject of the investigation, the subject being Hunter Biden. And he cited several examples involving apparent references to Hunter Biden's father, good old the main man, Joe. Shapley pointed to text messages and emails obtained from Hunter Biden's former business partner, Tony Bobulinski, who, by the way, has, you know, he's been around and available. Do you think that you would think the Justice Department and the FBI would want to talk with Bobulinski? Bobulinski was a partner of Hunter Biden. They have absolutely no interest in following through on the things that Hunter Biden did. Now, did you hear recently? Apparently, Hunter Biden was threatening some Chinese guy, and he said that his father was sitting right next to him, and he was trying to blackmail the guy into shooting out a lot of money to them.
He used words like, I expect this done by morning.
Yeah.
Well, one of
it sounded like a racketeer. It sounded like a guy that was ready to, you know, I'm going to go break both of your legs.
How about those lame charges that were brought on him that they settled for? There's a group out there, I believe it is the Democrats, that are so for gun control.
Yeah.
And punishing people that illegally
use
guns.
Except when it comes to guys like Hunter Biden.
Well, do you know that he was charged with illegally felony carrying a gun? Now, if you or I did that in Baltimore, it's a minimum of 5 years, I believe. A minimum of 5 years sentence.
This was not his first charge, you know, for gun possession either.
Well, for gun control.
This is the second time that they've caught him doing stuff like this. And he gets, what does he get? He doesn't even get a slap on the wrist. Well, you know, here's the thing. They haven't sentenced him yet. And the judge that he's going before, I think, might be a Republican. Wouldn't it be funny? The judge has the discretion.
I'm sorry, Paul. Didn't they give him he copped a plea for 2 years probation?
I think he did. But I was listening to what they said, and the judge can reject the plea. Now, whether he's going to do that or not, but he could say, "Look, this plea is ridiculous. This is not the first time that you've been caught doing stuff like this. You're going to go to the Hooskow for 2 years or something like that." Now, if he did that, his father could immediately pardon him. That's another thing, by the way. You can pardon anybody in the world if you're the president, including your own family members. But he could do that. But, you know, this is just, it goes to show you. I mean, when they talk about a two-tiered system of justice, no kidding.
Where are the citizens, especially black males, that get thrown in the pokey for the same crime?
Oh, yeah.
And are crying for equal justice.
Yeah.
I'm crying for it.
Absolutely. No. This is, it is so obvious. I mean, just the fact that you and I, Ed, can sit here and talk about all of these different things and all the LLC corporations that the Biden family has. We can talk about it at length.
Sure.
And yet, not a peep from the FBI or the Justice Department,
as if
they don't know anything about it.
Which one of those 10-year-old grandkids had an LLC?
Yes.
And did not file their tax return?
You got it. I wonder if that child that Hunter Biden had by that woman has an LLC. You never know. Anyway, we're going to switch gears. We're going to take our break. When we come back, Dan Greenberg of the Competitive Enterprise Institute and the efforts by CEI to reform our government and kind of bring it back into the way it was intended.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
On a Friday, and we thank you so very much for being with us. Delighted to have Dan Greenberg join us. He is a general counsel for the Competitive Enterprise Institute, and he co-authored a report, Constitutional Restoration, How to Rebuild the Separation of Powers. This would be and this is such an important thing. This is a new report from CEI. It proposes significant reforms that would help get our separation of powers and the balance back to where it should be. I mean, look at all of these executive orders. Like that student loan thing. You know, all of a sudden, the president can stand up and say, hey, by the way, we're going to wipe out student loan obligations for all of these people. Come on, that has nothing to do with the executive department. Anyway, Dan, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Oh, absolutely. I'm delighted to have you. And I salute you and CEI for this report. It is we have gone far, far, far past, in my opinion, what our three branches of government were intended to do, especially at the from the executive branch. Tell us a little bit, if you would, about both the report itself and the reasons for doing it.
So if I could, I'm going to start off with a story about the orange juice police. This goes back a couple years ago when the Food and Drug Administration invaded a warehouse and confiscated about 24,000 cartons of orange juice. And the reason they did that was because the name of the orange juice was Fresh Choice, and it was from concentrate. And so this is kind of puzzling, and the thing that was even more puzzling was that the next thing that the FDA did was give all the orange juice to a homeless shelter. They weren't concerned about safety. They weren't concerned about food purity, which is really the Food and Drug Administration's main goal. They were concerned that calling orange juice Fresh Choice wouldn't meet truth in advertising concern. And I don't think this was demanded by law. This was just the FDA looking at its own judgment, its own regulations, something that wasn't driven by Congress. You have sort of an independent agency just wanting to demonstrate its own power. And so you have an agency here, the Food and Drug Administration, that acts as both the executive and the legislative and arguably the judicial branch, and it's so contrary to the way things are supposed to be set up, which is a three-part division among the federal government. You're only supposed to wear one of those hats. You're not supposed to act as both the executive and the judge and the legislator. And so that's just one example of the kind of confusion and the kind of extra constitutional problems that we see today. And that's the reason that we wrote this report calling for the federal government to be restructured so that we have the same kind of three-part division that the writers and the founders of the Constitution wanted.
Yeah, they're like renegades. They untether themselves from the Constitution when they go and do stupid things like that. Does it seem to you, Dan, that it's the executive department in particular that has overstepped its authority more than the other two?
Well, there's a lot of competition. Of course, some of these agencies are called executive branch agencies, and I think in some ways that's a mistake because, as you probably know, a lot of these agencies that are called executive branch agencies, they have their own court, right? So if they prosecute you, if they complain about what you're doing, you don't get to go to the same kind of court that most people go to. You don't get to go to the same kind of court that has the protection that courts ordinarily do. There are these internal courts that are run by these executive agencies. And, you know, it's a funny thing about these executive agencies and their internal courts. They never lose. In some cases, they rarely lose. In other cases, they never lose. I think the Federal Trade Commission has a 25-year record of winning 100% of the time in its internal court. Either they win on a trial or they win on appeal. And the reason that is because they have their own judges that they can hire and fire if the chief heads of the agencies don't think they're doing a good job. And if you appeal, you appeal to the head of the agency.
Wow.
And so this is a really slanted way to do a criminal justice system. These are not independent courts. These are what are called administrative hearings. And it's such a perversion of justice.
It sounds like Russia.
It is truly a perversion of limited government, truly a perversion of separation of powers, truly a perversion of balance of powers, because you want to have the way that, you know, you want to have this set up the way the founders wanted it, which is a three-part division among the executive, yeah, the judicial, and the legislative.
Absolutely. We're talking with Dan Greenberg. He's general counsel at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. And we're talking about a CEI report calling for reforms to restore our constitutional constraints on government. Do you think that, for instance, I don't know, it seems to me that more than anything, it seems like the executive department is the one that is overlapping its authority. At least, some of the headline stories seem to be mentioning things like that. But then I say to myself, well, for instance, when President Biden wants to declare that all of these student loans can be wiped off the books, and I'm thinking, well, why doesn't the legislative branch, the Congress, step forth and be more vocal and say, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. Yep. This is our job. What are you doing? You know, it seems like they're allowing a usurpation of their powers.
Well, I think that's exactly right. And what you're pointing to is really kind of the disease of 21st century government, which is that parts of the government are not very careful about keeping an eye and protecting their own authority, and instead they're granting or giving up their own authority to other agencies. It's certainly true that Congress, in many ways, has kind of given up. It's kind of exceeded and handed over a lot of its authority to the executive. It's certainly true that Congress has also given up by saying, you know, we're going to pass these very general laws, and we're going to leave it to these agencies to pass the regulations that explain what the laws really do. And so I think in some ways, it's really kind of a failure of Congress that's very widespread, because they refuse to be concrete about what they're doing. They refuse to protect their own authority. And it's a way of refusing to take responsibility and accountability for the decisions,
yeah,
they make.
You know, and this goes back a long time, but I started to worry about the usurpation of powers when the War Powers Act was declared, which allowed the president basically to declare war. It goes back to, like, for instance, the Vietnam War itself, which was never a declared war, but we allowed our president to run an ongoing conflict without the Congress ever declaring war. The last time that we declared war was in World War II. And we won that war because everybody knew whose authority was what, I think. And then after that, we had Korea, and we had, you know, all these other skirmishes, and Afghanistan, and this and that and the other thing. And I just wonder if it's because of not following our Constitution that things developed the way they did.
Well, I think you're on the nose. As one of my law professors like to observe, the founders were very smart. And one of the smartest things the founders ever did was create this blueprint for government, the Constitution, that forced and ensured accountability for government decision makers. And when you ignore the Constitution, you ignore those provisions for accountability. That's why we have literally over a dozen undeclared hotspots, things that look like wars, things that aren't really recognized as wars. And if Congress were more careful about exercising its responsibilities, it really sort of forces everyone in government to do their job,
right,
and to speak informally, to keep an eye on the ball. And, you know, now we have this sort of big government that envelopes everything, and it's extremely difficult to understand the nature of accountability and to essentially blame people for doing a bad job. And, of course, there are plenty of members of Congress who appreciate the advantages of not being accountable for anything.
Sure.
You know, that's the accountability is the great enemy of the elected official. And so when you have this anti-accountability system, it's very dangerous, not just for the consequences it creates, but for good government.
We're talking with Dan Greenberg. He is the general counsel at the Competitive Enterprise Institute about CEI's report, trying to bring some sense back and to follow the Constitution when it comes to the limits on government and the separation of powers. And it just seems like, you know, Dan, it's so hard to put the genie back in the bottle, is it not? I mean,
well, it's very difficult.
Exactly. I mean, I salute you for this. And the first thing you got to do is to issue things like this. But do you think you're going to get the attention of the people that, you know, the people that can do something about this? And do you think they're going to take this report and do something with it?
Well, I'm a former elected official myself, and the reason I ran for office is that I wanted to fix a few things. And so what we try to do is we try to appeal to the self-interest of Congress. We say, you know, if you just follow the rules, you'd actually have a lot more power to do what you want to do. And so it's very simple to say, you know, Congress should regulate, not these executive agencies. So we could create a couple more regulatory committees in Congress and just solve this problem of these independent agencies making decisions that aren't from democratically elected and democratically accountable officials. We could say Congress just needs to establish a few more courts and get rid of the internal administrative bodies, the quasi-courts, that are in these executive agencies. There's some pretty simple steps they could take that would lead to much more accountability, would lead to better government, but it's really all a question of whether we have enough members of Congress who decide they want an accountability system that conforms to the three-part division of power in the Constitution.
So tell me the process with the report. Once you've completed the report, does every member of Congress get a copy of the report, or et cetera? How does it go?
So we distribute that, but what we really do is essentially we talk to the people we know. And so you know, we attend hearings, and you know, we testify at hearings, and often it happens, you know, you'll have members of Congress or staffs of Congress who will say, look, here's some interesting, these are really interesting ideas that you presented. Can we meet with you and learn more about this? And so ultimately the way it works is they invite us to meetings, and staff or members will say, you know, it sounds like we really ought to maybe write up some rules or write up some laws that could accomplish this. That's really the way we do things. People invite us to talk to them, we give them ideas, and sometimes it has good results.
Yeah, and in fact, you know, and I'm sure you thought about this, and maybe you're trying to do it, if you could get some spokesman in Congress to fight the good fight and to waive the report and to bring it up, you know, go on the different outlets, media outlets, and talk about it, you know. Somebody, you know, in Congress that people will listen to. Get a couple of those people to get up there and start, ringing the bell here on this and get the attention of people.
That is the classic victorious legislative strategy, what you've just expressed. And so what we hope is, you know, when we write these papers, we talk about these things, we get the attention of members of Congress and ultimately the leadership of Congress. And so, yeah, we you know, all, all we can do is be persuasive advocates. And as a friend of mine once said, the next step is to find a horse.
Yeah.
So you know, we seek out a horse who's interested in the idea we present.
Well, listen, you keep up the good fight. God bless you for doing it. This is exactly what we need. We got to get some sense and sensibility back into the Constitution. We have to kind of right ourselves, you know, and kind of get back on the horse and understand exactly what our Constitution and our country is all about. Thank you so very much for coming
on.
Thank you.
I appreciate the work you do. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. All right. Dan Greenberg, Competitive Enterprise Institute. Okay. Hey, we're going to take our break. When we come back, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis won't say if he would support Donald Trump for president if Trump becomes the Republican nominee. We're going to talk about it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Day in Tampa Bay. We need the rain, though. And we're so glad you're listening. So, Adam Schiff got what he deserved the other day. He got censured on the floor of Congress, despite all these Democrats trying to interfere with the censure. I mean, you talk about things going to hell in a handbasket. But Democratic Congressman Adam Schiff became only the 25th member of Congress in American history to be censured. He says that he will take it as a badge of honor because he says they're doing it because I'm effective.
I'm effective liar.
He's an effective liar, is exactly right. He went around all that time talking about the Trump colluding with the Russians. They impeached Trump on something that was a total fabrication.
It still sticks in my mind, him talking it up and blah, 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 and I know this and I know that. And
yeah.
And I, my understanding, our very own Anna Paulina Luna was the one who spearheaded against it.
Yeah. She's big on pushing that.
What we need.
This was her second attempt. The first time around, they were going to fine him about $16 million, and there was a bunch of Republicans that didn't want to force that one. So this time around, they pulled the money out. They said, let's just censure the guy, you know? And away you went. So, in the meantime, Ron DeSantis yesterday declined to say whether he would support the Donald if Trump becomes the Republican nominee to challenge Joe Biden in the election. I can't think of a better person to talk with about this conundrum than our buddy Andrew the Master Barber, who is on the line. Andrew,
Ron DeSantis is being very careful about this. You would think, however, that he would say, I'm going to support whoever the Republican nominee would be. Would you not?
Well, that's what he should say, Paul. But let's be real here. Does Trump need Rand's endorsement, or does Rand need a Trump's endorsement?
Okay. Yeah.
I mean,
well, originally.
Let's be real here.
Yeah.
I wish I could be the referee between these two. Because I think I could negotiate a deal. But the way it's going now, I think we're going to be surprised who the nominee might be. I don't know.
Yeah.
I really don't. You know, I see things going in circles. I really think it's going to be Trump, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I mean, I can understand why Trump was PO'd with Rand. I mean, let's be real here. You know, Rand thought of his own things before running for president. And he forgot who got him where he went, but that's beside the fact.
I think it was a good answer. I think no answer was a good answer.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it would sound more like, and it could certainly be spun this way, more sounding like he was conceding if he said, oh, I'll support him. So I think I would just say, listen,
careful.
I'm worried about my campaign right now. And we'll talk about that, at the end of the line.
Yeah, let me read what it says here about him. DeSantis was asked whether he would support Trump if he was and the question came over this barrage of criticism over DeSantis' handling of the COVID-19. DeSantis sidestepped that part of the question and instead said Trump was, quote, full of it, unquote, for criticizing how DeSantis responded to the COVID-19 pandemic. You have to admit that Trump has been going after DeSantis. He's belittled DeSantis. He's called him a number of different names. I think it's DeSanctimonious at one point. And he tends to do that with people. And then when he's asked about it, Andrew, he says, well, I'm going after him because he's the second one. He's number two. He's below me, but he's a long way. He was talking.
That's right.
Yeah. And he said, that's the reason I'm doing it.
That's right. Nick, can you, you know, all is fair in politics, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Ron's playing his game. He's going up against Trump. Trump's going to play his game. That's just the way it is.
That's right.
And may the best of the two win. I think I know who it's going to be. That's my own thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just anxious to watch where it's going because, you know, all we're hearing about is Ron's campaign. We're not hearing about what Ron's doing in Florida right now. Our insurance rates are sky high. We're going into hurricane season. I mean, I know a lot of people personally in Fort Myers that are still waiting to get taken care of from last year, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, worried about the campaign shouldn't be at the top of his list as constituents in Florida should be.
Yeah, no, I agree with your he has to maintain his focus. He's done a pretty good job, though. I have to give him credit, and I think most people do say that he's done, in fact, a terrific job when it comes to whatever you want to call it, hurricane management and repair.
Paul, I can tell you this. You need to go to Fort Myers because I know some contractors that are working there.
Sure. I mean,
okay?
There's always going
to... You need to go there. There's, you know, before the election or before this thing happened, there was one bridge repaired. Okay, well, there's three bridges there. The other two still haven't been touched.
Okay.
And people are upset.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. You might hear one thing here, but I'm hearing a lot of things in other places.
Well, let's face it. That was a devastating hurricane.
Well, of course it was. But what I'm understanding, this is all because of the insurance that's causing this.
Well, rates go up when the more hurricanes that we have that hit Florida.
But this has got nothing even to do with rates. We're talking about people getting their money to get paid and insurance company is underpaying the people for the work that they need to be done.
Yeah.
Like I
That's
said,
important.
You know, we hear things here, but I hear things from all over the place.
Yeah.
And like I said, may the best man win. I mean, I'm caught in the middle, you know that.
I know you are.
And I try not to say as much as I can, but what I'm doing is looking at the facts of the two.
Yeah.
I think Trump needs to cool it with the name calling a little bit with everybody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just like I think Ron needs to pay a little more attention to the constituents here. You know, he passed the law that made it a gravy train for him. Win or lose, he's got a job.
Yeah. No, you're right. For those of you that don't listen to us on a regular basis, Andrew is good friends with the DeSantis family. He knows their parents very well. And he's caught between. He's been a big proponent, big backer of Donald Trump, very loyal guy to Donald Trump. And I can see where you would be conflicted.
And I'm very loyal to Ron, too. Yes, don't get me wrong. The family's like family to us.
Yes.
And he's done a great job. But I got, at this point, at the position I'm in, I've learned that I've got to look at the truth of both of them and what I see.
Yeah. This is a very, very interesting, gearing up to be a very interesting Republican primary. We've got, every time I talk with you, we got another somebody entering the race. Now we got the mayor of Miami.
Okay.
We got about 14 people. People that are running on the president.
I hope Ron can handle a debate good. I mean, Charlie Crist was a professional, and he kind of handled a debate where he got Ron a little upset. But I got news for you. You got Trump and Chris Christie on stage. You better really be able to hold yourself back.
Yeah.
Because these guys are animals.
Well, there's even a question as to whether or not Donald Trump will engage in a debate in the Republican primary.
Let me tell you something. If he doesn't, there'll be nobody even viewing it. If he doesn't, nobody even watch it on television. Trump better be there, because if he's not, nobody's even going to watch it. That's true. They want to see the excitement.
He is the absolute, he's got that, whether you want to call it a charisma or whatever it is, he's got something that, he's like a magnet when it comes to people wanting to know what he thinks.
I'm telling you, the Democrat ratings will get more ratings than the Republicans if Trump's not there. If Trump is there, everybody will watch it, including the Democrats.
Hey, what about this there's this consideration of that guy from West Virginia, the Senator Joe Manchin. He's seriously toying with the idea of running. And if he decides to run, he can totally screw up Joe Biden.
Oh, no. He's going to throw a wrench right in the gears, buddy.
If I were the Republicans, I would be urging Joe Manchin to run as a third-party candidate.
Yep. Yeah, he just might do it, and I'm telling you this one.
I'll tell you what, he's not said no, and when he's been asked directly about it, he squirms out of the question.
Yep, there's no question.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, who not to turn your back, and don't turn your back on Mr. Kennedy, buddy.
And that's another one. He's got like 20-some percent of the vote, and it surprises me a little bit, but he's the only... I mean, if anybody else, like if Manchin or somebody else came along, I think that the Democrats are looking for somebody other than Joe Biden, don't you?
Now, I don't know if this was true or not, but I heard that Robert Kennedy Jr. was a heroin addict at one time.
I think he might have been. I don't know enough about it. I don't want to just...
What's wrong?
Right, yeah, I don't either.
What's wrong with his voice, by the way?
And that's probably from being a heroin addict.
I know those crackheads lose their teeth. Maybe the heroin, you lose your voice. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
He does have a rather annoying,
very raspy,
annoying way of talking. Yeah, it's like he's gasping for breath.
Yeah,
but you know what? If you listen to the guy, he makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've listened to him.
I don't know about that.
The Democrats are going to love this guy.
Now, on the other side of the coin, this keeps popping up all over the internet, and it's really just sad and disgusting that these two people are in office. But the exchange between Fetterman and Biden keeps popping up.
And,
even our nursery school students are tuning that one out because they don't understand going on.
After listening to those two mumble towards each other, I have to go and slap water on my face because I feel like I have lost consciousness.
I mean,
I had to go change my underwear because I peed my pants. I was laughing so hard.
Can you imagine working for that guy and having to sit there and take notes from him?
Hey,
I mean,
they need to put those two on Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
I don't know if I've ever been drunk enough to talk like that. I mean, and that's truly sad because of what happened to him. But,
no, it is, actually.
And then you got the other one that just belongs in a nursing home because he's
far gone.
What's
sad is they're running our country.
Yeah,
this is what's sad.
You got a guy who's the president of the United States and then another guy who's in the Senate.
I know. And he shows up in shorts and a hoodie all the time. At all of these formal events.
Yeah,
what's that?
Did we catch him coming from the gym?
He's always coming from the gym.
Oh.
Well, Well, what do you think about China, Paul, putting some military bases over in Cuba, huh? Hey, those poor Cuban people?
Yeah, we talked about that with our on Wednesday, about this concept of allowing China to tramp all over the world. They're not, and of course, establishing and buying property next to our military bases, floating balloons over our country, trying to establish a military base in Cuba. They're down in South America. They're linking up with all. They've come into the Western Hemisphere, and they're tramping all over the place. And we're just sort of sitting there.
They're all over. They infiltrated us already. Right to the White House.
From what I heard about this time yesterday, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, Joe Biden Joe Biden is doing a great job. He is the guy we need, calm and a calming presence to take care of this. Because it's working so well for us. Where Trump had the North Koreans all up and aroused and the China and he called President Xi a good looking man. What is he doing saying that? Well, Biden is doing a great job.
He also called him a dictator. This is if we went back a couple of generations, and those people looked at a guy that is looked at our country today, I think we would all be terrorized at what's happened to our country, and allowing. I mean, Biden there's a big question that Biden is doing this because he's on the take.
He's on the
take with the Ukraine. He's on the take with China.
With everybody.
So, I mean, is this what we've become in this country? We've got a president we can't even trust to not commit treason?
It's unbelievable, isn't it? But you know what, Paul, before we got to go here, I was wondering, I need to get the name of Hunter Biden's attorney here.
Oh, you do?
This guy, he seems like he's one of the best you can have.
I don't think you have to be anything. I think all you need to do is have a Justice Department sitting in your lap.
Oh, I hear all the time. I thought you could be a good lawyer.
You could be his attorney and look good. I mean, they're absolutely looking the other way. It doesn't make any difference what he does.
The next time there is a rally for gun control with the Democrats, all you have to do is take a picture of Hunter Biden and just put it on a stick and march down the road with it, because he is the poster child for gun control. Yeah. Here's a guy who got a felony charge possessing a gun. If you and I on the street, it's a minimum of five years in prison. Ankle bracelet around your ankle for 2 years. And as long as he doesn't drink for 2 years, he's good.
Yeah, and you know,
although crack is optional.
You know, this is not the first time he's been caught with a gun.
Second time.
This is the second time.
Well, that's why it's a felony.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah, unbelievable, Andrew. It's always a pleasure, my friend. So glad you're with us.
You guys have a good weekend. Maybe I see you tomorrow night, there, Mr. Ed.
You got it.
Sounds
good.
Sounds good. Thanks, Andrew. All right,
we're gonna go to that Biden rally.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah. Tell us, where is it?
He's number two and I'm number three on the guest list. And that's it.
Wow.
It's just in a coffee room. That's it.
Okay, well, good for you, man. That sounds great. You know, we talked about our little Madeira Beach Biden rally that we went to.
Oh, yeah, the Trump thing. Yeah.
So, good for you. All right, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, among other things, we're going to give you the 10 most recent censures of congressmen.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
If you own a home, I bet you're flooded with tree service mailers. So who do you call? ArborLife Tree Service is my choice. When I needed a bunch of trees taken down, they did it safely and at a great price. But ArborLife not only removes trees, they plant trees, they trim them, they prune, they spray, and they fertilize as well. They're ISA certified, they're veteran owned. I'm telling you, you can't go wrong. Call them for a free estimate. 727-330-9000. 1999. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They really will go out on a limb for you. Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment of Freedom Works here. And we thank you so very, very much for being with us. By the way, we are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great Tan Talk Radio Network. Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. And we always wish that you will have the opportunity to listen to us. But if you can't listen to us live, thanks to Big Ed, you can go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com, and click on the podcast button, and you can listen to any of our shows because Ed, bless his heart, puts all our shows on podcast. Ourfreedomworks.com, O-U-R, ourfreedomworks.com. All right, so here's an interesting piece of news. You know what's going on these days in California? Well, a new poll shows that 4 in 10 California residents are considering packing up and leaving the Golden State. Many also believe that the state is headed in the wrong direction and are anxious about that direction, including the economy, homelessness, and their ability to pay their bills. You know, it's very expensive to live in California. More expensive now than it has ever been. So this is a new poll from a consortium of local nonprofits aiming to take stock of the state's mood. And it points to a contradiction playing out across the Golden State. People are pleased by the bounty. Bounty, the country's largest state has to offer, mostly favor its liberal attitudes, but also are far more concerned about their own personal livelihoods. No kidding. And they've been voting with their feet. More than any other state, are losing people.
If you look just at gas prices right now, I mean, they're averaging $5 a gallon.
It's terrible.
It's about a buck and a half more than we're paying.
Oh, absolutely. Also, before we, this is kind of in the sports area, Ed, but you'll be interested in this. The NHL and several of its teams and players caught some flack and some praise in response to their not wearing LGBTQ-themed jerseys during warm-ups. I didn't know they were even doing that.
Yeah.
We got to that point where you got to start. Most of these sports stars, quite frankly, are conservatives.
Well, you see how they're sneaking it in. They're doing it, you said at warm-ups. That's before the crowd gets there.
Yeah.
In other words, everybody's just now getting into the stadium, getting their beer and nachos and stuff and haven't sat in their seats yet. So they're wearing them on that, and then the whole deal with the LA Dodgers the other day, that was done again before the start of the game.
It was. Here's NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman. He says, in order to avoid any quote distraction, these LGBTQ themed jerseys will no longer be worn on the ice.
Good.
Yeah, that's all I have to say. All right. Before we get to our top 10, is there anything else in sports we need to know?
Well, with the Rays, they're not doing so well on the field. Now they've got problems off the field. Their franchise player has been benched because he's got emotional problems.
Really?
Yes. Wander Franco has been benched for 2 games because he's not being a very good teammate. Oh. And I can tell you what's going on is the fact that Randy Arozarena, who has kind of upped his game and is a fan favorite, he's got his own section now. There's a little jealousy going on there.
Okay, now.
And he's not handling it very well. He's 22 years old. Yes, he's got millions of dollars, but go hire Dr. Phil.
So he's jealous of Rosarina.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. Well, we got to get over that.
He's pouting.
Oh, well, you got to mature. Yeah. All right. Time for our top 10. We talked earlier about Adam Schiff. He's the latest congressman to be censured, okay, by the House. So we're going to give you now the 10 most recent censures in Congress. By the way, 26 total congressmen dating back to 1832 with William Stanberry have been censured in Congress. So here we go. Number 10. Number 10 is William Bynum. He was a Democrat. In 1890, he was censured for using unparliamentary language. In other words, he was probably swearing like a drunken soldier.
Yeah.
All right. Number 9. In 1921, Thomas Blanton, a Democrat, using unparliamentary language as well. I guess back in those days, they were swearing quite a bit. By the way, that vote was 293 to nothing.
No friends.
Yeah, really. Number 8, Charlie Diggs. He was also a Democrat. And in a 414 to nothing vote, he was censured for payroll fraud and mail fraud.
How many?
414 to nothing.
So you're saying there's a chance.
I think. Number 7. Another Democrat, Daniel Flood, in 1979, he was from Pennsylvania, bribery. Uh-huh. All right. Number 6. 1980, Charles Wilson, a Democrat from California, improper use of campaign funds. Number 5. Daniel Crane, a Republican from Illinois, engaging in sexual conduct with a House page. Uh-oh. Number 4. Jerry Studs, the same year, 1983. He's a Democrat from Massachusetts. He did the same thing. I wonder if it was the same House page engaging in sexual conduct.
This page girl got around.
I'll tell you. Number 3. Charles Rangel. You remember Charlie Rangel?
No.
Democrat from New York?
It's a lot of Democrats.
2010. Improper solicitation of funds, making inaccurate financial disclosure statements, and failure to pay taxes.
Oops.
Ah, what's wrong with that? Number 2. Paul Gosar, a Republican, 2021, posted an anime video on social media depicting himself committing violence against Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Oh, I remember
and
that.
And President Joe Biden.
Oh, I remember that.
Okay. And number 1, most recent. Adam Schiff, the other day, the vote was 223 to 209 and went along party lines. All the Republicans except 6 that voted present voted for it, and 209, all the Democrats voted against it. And he was charged with making allegations regarding Russian collusion in the 2016 presidential election and the first impeachment of Donald Trump.
In other words, he was a lion sack of you-know-what.
Yeah, exactly. All right. There you have it. We thank you so very much for being with us. We hope you have a wonderful weekend. We will be back on Monday. In the meantime, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.
And a happy Friday, Tampa Bay. Big Ed here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Let's take a look at your Bay Area forecast. Looks like the on and off rain.